Our morning show today from WRCO, we have a new topic. In fact, Savannah Ducharme is back with us, treatment court coordinator, and she is here with Richland County's first ever adult court graduate and adult drug court graduate. So, and that is Rachel Bull. So Savannah and Rachel are here today. We're going to find out the story and find out what it is all about. But welcome back to the morning show studio, Savannah.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Good to have you in here. So tell us a little bit about adult drug court.
So Richland County Treatment Court as a whole, a hybrid program for both alcohol and drugs, came together in 2022. The sobriety court portion of it started back in 2017, but with Rachel here, she's our first drug court graduate that we've had since we started the program in 2022, so I wanted to really highlight kind of all the big things that she's accomplished over the course of her being in the program and the fact that it was and is the first graduate that we've had.
Yeah, how proud are you of her?
I'm very proud. It's not an easy program, I gotta say that, especially for, I mean, anybody entering it. There's a lot that you have to do, a lot we ask of you, but it's all to kind of better yourself, better your outcome, better your life.
So tell me how the process works for that, how you are in the, I guess basically in the class, right?
So you are referred essentially to the program as a kind of almost a court sentencing. It's an alternative to prison for individuals. So you're referred, we go through kind of a checklist of criteria that you have to meet, a risk and need, an AODA diagnosis, whether or not you live in the county, your age, kind of your history as a whole. And then from there, it's in the court's hands as to whether or not you get sentenced to treatment court. And then you start.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing when that happens, sometimes you're pulling for somebody so you want so badly for them to do well, don't you?
Oh, yes. It has its challenges. It has its good days, bad days, ups, downs, everything in between. But it's good to see somebody like Rachel at the very end of it kind of really turn her life around and do well and accomplish all these things that I don't think she probably could have without the program.
Well, we bring Rachel into the conversation. Good morning, Rachel.
Morning.
Good to have you on with us here today. So was some of it maybe somebody pulling for you? Was that part of the motivation there too?
Absolutely. The whole team, I have a few friends and family, and also my three children.
So you had a lot to recover from, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your history. Did you grow up in the area?
I did. I was born in Richland Center. I went to Ithaca High School. I had a baby my sophomore year. I got my HSED in 2019. I moved away for quite a while. My first job was Applebee's in Wisconsin Dells for 7.5 years. And then I moved back here and got in a bunch of trouble.
So trouble kind of followed you, or how did it work, you know?
Well, I can't really blame it on anybody but myself, but I met a guy. We were together for 5 years, and that was my 5 years of my addiction. When we broke up, I was still in a bunch of trouble, you know, and I got sentenced, but I wanted to quit, and I wanted to do better, and you know, get my kids back and finally get on my feet and, you know, back to a job. I went 2 years without a job. I did accomplish those things. I have my own place. I have a job. I have a vehicle. I have my children back. And life is definitely looking up.
How good does that feel?
It feels great, except for the few extra pounds that I put on.
Well, if that's the worst that comes from it, right?
So. Right.
So you were in this relationship. So in that sense, you're kind of an enabler and being enabled. And, you know, how did that work?
Well, he was from Louisiana. He had the addiction when he moved up here. And, well, he kind of enabled me to do the addiction. I didn't really know how to do, even, you know, go about doing the drug. He did it for, lit it for me for the first 2 years of my addiction. And, you know, we fought all the time. It was an abusive relationship, not a good situation for my kids. I finally got out of that. And then I got sentenced and then I got sober.
What was your drug of choice during that time?
Methamphetamine.
Okay. A lot of people have a hard time recovering from that, don't they?
A lot of people do. But a lot of people don't have the support that I had in the treatment court program. There's a lot of support. And even when you do screw up, you know, they still support you, and, you know, you have, you know, little sanctions and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not easy in the beginning. It's a lot of things that you have to do. You know, you have to meet with your drug court coordinator once a week, your probation officer once a week. I had to do 7 weeks of IOP, which is intensive outpatient treatment therapy, and that was 3 days a week, 3 hours a week. And I did complete that, never missed a session. But it changes you internally when you actually do the work and you go through the program. And it's just it's a good outcome. It is a lot of hard work, but it's definitely worth it.
That's such an addictive drug. I just can't imagine what you went through just day by day, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically all you think about is, you know, where you're going to get it next, how you're going to get it, when it's coming. It's a really horrible drug. It messes with a lot of people's minds. I have some, well, ex-friends that, you know, completely went nuts. and I don't know that they'll ever recover from that. But yeah, it's very, very addictive. And I mean, you lose all, you know, emotions, and, you know, you're just kind of like a numb zombie that just wants more of it.
That's the thing that, you know, for friends and family, they know Rachel is in there somewhere, but it wasn't necessarily Rachel reacting and acting like they figure Rachel should, right?
Yeah, I was not a very nice person. I was angry all the time. And, you know, I tried to hide my addiction, and everybody knew. But my kids, my mom, a few friends, you know, they never gave up on me, which was a big part of my recovery as well, because without that, you know, support system in your family and friends, it's really hard to do on your own.
Well, definitely. And then you had your kids. You had a lot to really try to recover for, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of call it a functioning addict. I ran the press box for a year and a half while I was addicted to meth. I mean, I did pay my bills and things, but things between me and the ex got worse, and I lost the apartment, and the kids went to live with their dad and grandma for about, it was a little over a year. I never actually lost placement or custody of them. I let them go there because of the situation that I was in, which turned out not to be a very good situation for them.
No.
They got taken back in January from their dad and grandma due to their father doing meth and heroin in the home and not feeding them. And I've been trying to get them through, you know, therapy and counseling, and, you know, because that was what I put them through, plus what their dad put them through, was a lot of trauma in their life.
How are your children doing now?
Well, they're doing all right. They passed all their classes, which I was actually kind of surprised about, because my son didn't go to, he's in sixth grade, he didn't go to school till January of this year, and he did pass all of his classes. He's in summer school, and I think they'll do just fine next year in school, which is really good.
Yeah, awesome. And they have their mom there now, you know, a strong parental person in their lives. So
yes, they do. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud to say that I'm still there for my children.
Yeah, I can't fathom what you went through in terms of you were working, but you had this strong addiction. How did you manage to function and work and still get things done like you did?
I just tried to, you know, prioritize even through my addiction, you know, working and the kids. At one point, I had 3 kids in 3 different schools when we went to COVID, and that was a challenge in itself. I didn't know anything about the, you know, the Chromebooks or the iPads that they had. But we made it through. I guess, I mean, I don't really know. 'Cause, you know, I never did it around my children or in the same house as my children. You know, I didn't get busted with drugs around my kids. So, I mean, I guess in that sense, my kids were still a higher priority, at least when they were around.
Mm-hmm. Is it the type of drug that you're pretty much addicted to when the first time you try it?
Pretty much. I mean, I tried it first in 2017, and it started as like a weekend fun thing. And then when we moved to Richland Center, it became an everyday thing. And then it became something I had to have to be able to function. And when you come down off of meth, some people have different, you know, symptoms, but mine was, I had to sleep, you know, because it just, you know, when you're up 2, 3, 4, 5 days at a time, your body, when you don't have that to function, it just shuts down. And you have to sleep. And, you know, at first, in the beginning of my addiction, I could, you know, it makes you not eat. I got past that and learned how to eat on it, which is basically just forcing yourself to eat, which isn't enjoyable.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it comes an everyday thing and that's all you think about and that's all you want to do, you know, you get to the point where you're almost ashamed that you're doing it, especially when you know you want to quit, but it's not easy.
I think that goes along with any addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol, is the shame that people are trying to overcome sometimes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really backwards in this, but how easy would it be to go out and get meth right now if I wanted to? Is it pretty easy?
Fairly easy.
Isn't that something?
It is.
Yeah, scary.
Well, when I first became sober, I unfriended or blocked 250 people on my Facebook. I mean, that's the start of it. You have to take yourself out of that situation and away from those kinds of people, or you're never going to get sober, because you're just going to be around that circle of people that, you know, they don't care whether you're sober or not. They're like, oh, you sure you don't want some? No, I had to. The last time I got out of jail, I was basically, all my stuff was at a trap house, is what I call it, because it's just a place where everybody was doing drugs. And I packed all my stuff and I left there. And that's where life started to get better.
That was kind of the turning point then?
Yeah, I spent I spent my dad's death anniversary and Christmas in jail back in 2022. And I read the book. It was Codependency No More, but it also talked about, you know, how drugs and alcohol affect you and the people around you. And when my daughter came to visit me on Christmas in jail, it hit me really, really hard. And when I got out of jail the last time, I was 17 days sober, and I did stay sober for 49 days. And then I relapsed, but then I got sentenced. It was April 20th of 23 to the treatment program. And my last relapse was April 26th of 2023.
Okay. So it's been well over a year.
Yeah, it's been a year and 2.5 months as of today.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm guessing each day, though, you just got to keep fighting every day, don't you?
Yes. Yes, you do. You just have to think about all the things that you did accomplish and all the things that you could lose. My children need me more than anything in the world, and that is my biggest motivation.
Yeah. This is amazing talk here. We appreciate you coming in and being so honest with us, Rachel. And Savannah, this is a proud moment again for you, isn't it?
It is. It's huge. I thoroughly enjoy being able to watch people accomplish all these things that they thought they never could have. It's terrific to look back on and reflect on and then, you know, skip forward to where we are today. And like we've talked about, the Rachel then and the Rachel now are just two drastically different people. So it's incredible, truly.
A lot of times people aren't quite this fortunate. I mean, it's either go to this treatment court or go to prison. A lot of times it's the latter, isn't it?
Correct. Yep. I mean, there's some people who I think starting off kind of take what the program has to offer perhaps for granted. But once they grasp, you know, we are here for you, we push you, but that's just to better you as a person. And then once they kind of internalize all of that and see that that's what we're here for, then they kind of really begin to turn themselves around and better themselves and maintain sobriety and ultimately live a better life.
Do you currently have other individuals that are going through the program?
Yep. So we have 13 total participants. I have 8 individuals that are in drug court, and I have 5 that are in the alcohol court portion of things.
Is this rewarding work for you?
Rewarding, yes. At the end of the day, I am truly blessed to see so many people accomplish and do such great things.
And Rachel's actually going to have a graduation, right?
She is, yes. In the middle of August, she will be Richland County's first ever drug court graduate since the program started in 2022.
Cap and gown, right?
I might get one.
Maybe. You deserve. You can wear whatever you want to wear. How does that make you feel when you hear that, Rachel?
It feels really good. I'm actually going to be doing a vision board. It'd be the first person, I think, ever in Richland County to do a vision board. Other counties kind of do that. It's kind of like you do your losses on one side, your journey in the middle, and, you know, where you want to be, your successes and things at the end. So I think that'll be kind of neat to show, you know, all the participants what I actually, you know, went through. I mean, we go through group and things like that. And they kind of know me, but, you know, they don't know the whole story and things. And like Savannah said, you know, sometimes it's, you know, either this or prison. I was facing 18 months in prison, actually. I had 10 open cases and, I don't know, over 60 charges. And, you know, most of them due to, you know, being busted with, you know, methamphetamine or the tools to use it. And I'm really glad that I chose to do this program instead of, you know, sit in prison and lose my kids and everything. It was something better to look forward to.
18 months, losing all those months of your life, too, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, at least I'm not locked up in a jail cell or prison cell, you know, and I'm out in public and still trying to, you know, better myself and better my kids' lives.
But you really had to change friends. I mean, you had a lot of people over the years, I guess so-called friends, we should say, but you pretty much had to turn your back on a lot of people, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I literally have, I can count on one hand how many actual friends that I still have, you know, and sober friends at that. I'm trying to make new sober friends. I've actually come across a few of them in my line of work, because I work at Honkers and Sportsman's in Muscadet, and they, you know, the new waitresses and cooks and things have come to, you know, bond with them, and, you know, it's kind of like a family there.
You can really relate to somebody that might be struggling, though, can't you?
Yes. Actually, I signed up for a peer support training for all the counties in Wisconsin. They give 50 applications and they select 25 of them. It wouldn't be until I think the beginning of sep- September. I'm still waiting to hear back whether I got in for the training, because that is something that I would like to do, is to help people, you know, going through this, you know, the same thing that I went through, or close to the same thing that I went through, and to help people like that. Because it was hard for me, and, you know, I went through it, so it would be easy for me to, you know, point people in the right direction.
You know, it's hard, though, because, you know, if you're talking to somebody that has an addiction to meth, for instance, you know, they probably are lying through their teeth sometimes when they're talking to you, right?
Yes, honesty is one of the hardest things to overcome after having an addiction. It was hard for me in the beginning, and, you know, I hit a bump in the road here at the end as well, because I wasn't honest about getting the new job at Honkers and Sportsman's, which is why I got to do 8 hours of community service.
Oh, okay.
But that is one of the hardest things in having an addiction to change internally, is to be honest, and to be honest with yourself, and to be honest with other people.
Your family has to be proud of you.
They are. They tell me all the time. We had just had a 4th of July get together, and, you know, my mom and my uncles and my sisters and stuff, they are very proud of me, because I actually talk to them now. You know, in that kind of addiction, you kind of cut off everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's not good to feel that way, you know, alone. And it's nice to have conversations with my mom and my sisters and, you know, family other than that, and know that they are proud of me and that they are still there for me.
So you've been able to repair some previous relationships as well there with your family?
Yes, definitely have mended a lot of family relationships, and, you know, mended things with my children, because they're 10, 12, and 19. So my oldest daughter never gave up on me. You know, she was there through a lot of it, and she also is on the sober path. I'm actually very proud of her. She works at Dunkin' Donuts, and she graduated high school, which we never thought she was going to. But also that's partially because when I went to jail the last time, I signed over power of attorney to Bree Ingman, which left my daughter Haley Bowe in Richland County so she could graduate from Richland Center. And she's doing very well. She's even going to school to be a special education teacher.
Oh, good for her.
So I'm very, very proud of her and very thankful that she never gave up on me.
Right. Yeah, that unfortunately, lots of times kids do follow the same path. It's cyclical, so to speak. So that's one of the things you're trying to guard against and kind of, you know, lead them on a different path, right?
Yeah, she was, she was drinking and smoking weed, and she was doing self-harm, but I think she's been sober longer than I have, actually.
Good.
And clean of the self-harm as well. Okay. So, very proud of her that way, because I'm sure it wasn't easy living with me through the addiction, so.
Does that sound like you when you were her age then? Were those some of the things that you were going through at that time then?
Yeah, I mean, I started, you know, having sex and smoking cigarettes, smoking weed, and drinking alcohol at the age of 13. So, I mean, that wasn't ideal, you know, my dad was in and out of prison. My mom, her and the boyfriend at the time, you know, owned a bar and a business and wasn't really around a lot. And I took care of my younger sisters a lot. But when your parents aren't there, then you can pretty much do whatever you want to do, right? Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't go down the greatest path as a child. But I've worked really hard to better myself in life. I mean, even through my addiction, but I mean, I've always paid the bills and had a job and taken care of the kids. And I just gonna continue to do that.
You are an inspiration, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
You bet. We'll be back with more in the morning show in a moment. We'll wrap up our conversation with Rachel Bowe and Savannah Ducharme in just a moment. Our guests include Savannah Ducharme, a treatment court coordinator from Richland County Health and Human Services, and Rachel Bowe, who's going to be graduating officially soon from the adult drug court here in Richland County. First ever graduate, which is really cool. So let's talk a little bit about, again, Savannah, your job and some things that that maybe you'd like to touch on today that people don't know about the services provided in Richland County.
So my position as a whole is strictly just the treatment court portion of things. I guess I'd just like to put out there that there are resources here in Richland Center. Health and Human Services does have an AODA counselor that is taking in and accepting clients for drug and alcohol related addictions. We have myself that can be some sort of referral source to get you in wherever it is that you need to go. I'm capable of doing those alcohol and drug assessments as well, should you choose to choose the path of recovery and get kind of those steps taken in the right direction. There's several other counselors in the area. It's just a matter of getting that first step and getting you in the office.
So getting in the office is the first step, and then you go from there. So what are some of the levels that you go through?
So I typically, or the other AODA counselor, Kaya, will meet with you. We'll go over kind of your lifelong history of anything ranging from your childhood, your school years, up into your adulthood. At the end of the assessment, then we kind of establish where you are on a level of care, whether that's just regular outpatient, if you're needing something more intense like Rachel did at first, the intensive outpatient, if you're needing partial hospitalization, if you're needing residential. It kind of varies just based on the severity, essentially, of your addiction. And then from there, the rest is ultimately in your court. We can't force anybody to go to treatment. Aside from being the treatment court program, then we can almost walk you there with a leash, but that's kind of the steps of everything in terms of treatment court. That's all just a referral process, whether it's from attorneys, jail staff, district attorney, probation agents, yourself. You can refer yourself to the program. And then it's just the eligibility steps after that.
Because of the volume, lots of times of people, you know, going through this and things like that, I think some of us feel like, well, they just got a slap on the wrist and they're back on the street. I mean, I think you're kind of overworked and overloaded, aren't you?
It can be a lot, definitely right at first. I will say that dealing with individuals addicted to drugs is substantially more challenging than those that are addicted to alcohol. But that's just addiction as a whole. It's not an easy thing to break. It's challenging, but like I've mentioned several times, the reward at the end of it is worth every battle and hair you pull out of your head in the process.
Those that you deal with in alcohol court as well, it's a tough situation because of the culture that we live in, isn't it?
It is, yes. Treatment court takes OWI individuals four and under. Unfortunately, you can't get into alcohol court with an OWI fifth or sixth due to recent kind of law changes. But we take other individuals with other alcohol-related kind of convictions or open cases as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be just driving while under the influence. But it's another very hard thing to break because, you know, drinking alcohol is so socially accepted. It's out there in the open. You can walk in anywhere practically and get your hands on it. Anything and everything in general in terms of addiction is very challenging. It's not an easy cycle to break, but I'm pleased with everyone once they get towards the end of it.
So tell us about the alcohol court then, or sobriety court, I should say. You've got some success stories there too, don't you?
Yes. So the sobriety court portion of things started back in 2017. And 2017 up till now, Richland County has had 28 successful graduates. I don't believe any of them have reoffended since graduating, which is huge. Next week, we'll actually have another alcohol court graduate that will be completing the program, has done very well throughout everything. So we'll turn that 28 into a 29 and more from there.
A lot of great stories there, right?
Definitely, for sure.
So you've worked in other capacities. I understand you were a jailer for a time, too?
Yes. Prior to working at Health and Human Services, I was at the Sheriff Department here in town for almost 5 years. So I've seen a lot of the people I'm actually being their coordinator for now in, you know, all different realms of their personalities and things of that nature, including Rachel. I've met Rachel on the inside, behind bars, quite a few times, but I think ultimately it's kind of helped me deal with the clientele that I have now. It led me towards actually this career path. After the Sheriff Department career, I pursued counseling. So I was actually Rachel's counselor for a short while before I kind of established that that wasn't really my fit as an individual, which landed me into treatment court. And I think that's kind of where I'm almost meant to be. It's the best of both worlds. I can kind of still put in there the whole counselor side of me, as well as the more stricter portion of things. I can not tell people or my participants how it is, essentially, but I can be more straightforward and forthcoming with them, whereas counseling, you can't really go and do that to people. So,
yeah, counseling is tough work, isn't it?
It is. It was nice. I mean, I've helped a couple people accomplish and successfully complete treatment, even while I was a coordinator. So I have my success stories outside of treatment court as well, which is great to see.
Rachel, when you're around society, do other things bother you? Do alcohol, people drinking alcohol, do things like that bother you or not?
The alcohol doesn't bother me at all, but that's probably because my mom was an alcoholic, and I don't really drink. I've never been a drinker. But that part of it doesn't bother me at all, the alcohol part. I'm not really around anybody else doing anything else. I try not to put myself in those situations.
Yeah, that's the best way. If you had the time tunnel and you could go back and you could talk to your 12-year-old self or whatever, your 13-year-old self, what advice would you give?
To finish school and not do drugs or alcohol, just to be on a better path, because, I could have went to college and I could have, done a lot of things. I did have a baby my sophomore year, and it made it quite a bit hard to do a lot of things. But I would never take that back for the world. But I would definitely tell myself not to get in so much trouble.
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously, you're the person today because of what you've gone through, and you're obviously a stronger person today as a result, aren't you?
Yes. I mean, if I hadn't been through everything that I've been through in life, I definitely wouldn't be the person I am today.
So possibly someday you might want to be a counselor?
Yeah, it's basically peer support is kind of like a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And they are looking for, it's an actual paying job. And they are looking for them in quite a few counties in Wisconsin. But I've learned a lot through therapy in this program, especially in IOP, how to regulate your emotions and, how to walk away and things, because I used to be, even before the drugs, was a very angry person, had a very short fuse. But there's steps that you can take and to let out emotions in a healthy manner.
Mm-hmm. Well said. So then if someone is hearing this, and what do you think the first step they should do would be?
Well, the first step is that, you want to have to change your life. And when you want to change your life and you need help, you have to seek that help, which, that is the first step, and that is the hardest step, because you can't do it alone. I've learned that the hard way. You just can't do it alone. It takes the steps. It takes the treatment. In the very beginning, I didn't really want to do this, and it got easier, and I learned that I needed it. I needed the treatment. I needed the help. You know, most people think, oh, Health and Human Services, they don't help you. Actually, they do. And they've helped me through, you know, through the kids, myself. And I am very grateful that I did choose to get help. Because if I can do it, anybody can. I was at very rock bottom and came a very long way. And I'm very proud of myself.
Were there certain things, when you talked about having relapses, were there certain things that, set you off, or was it random? Or
Basically, it was just being around those people that were still doing drugs. You know, I thought I could handle that. Thought I could handle, oh, I can be in the same room with people smoking meth. Until they hand you the bong, and then you're like, oh, well, let's just hit this. You have to take that out of your life. You have to take those people out of your life. And that sometimes hurts. You know, sometimes you've been friends with those people for 20 years, but you have to stop putting yourself in trigger positions, because you have triggers all the time, every day. One of mine is a torch lighter. I can't use a torch lighter because that's how I used to smoke meth. So I tried to stay away from things like that, you know, in places that I used to do it, or, you know, stuff like that. You just have to stay away from your, how did they put it? You have to feel uncomfortable sometimes to change what feels comfortable. And, I learned that in IOP. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that is. You could possibly write a book someday.
I thought about it, honestly.
Yeah.
It'd be more like a trilogy.
The different chapters. But is it safe to say that, I mean, there's a chance that you might not still be with us had you not changed your ways, right?
Right. On the path that I was going, you know, I was homeless. I didn't have a job. You know, my kids weren't with me. My vehicle was broken. You know, I was at very rock bottom and realized that this is not what I want in life. It's not what anybody should want in life. And I know that it's really hard to kick any kind of addiction, but you just have to stay positive and you have to keep moving forward.
Again, what can people do? Can they reach out to Richland County Health and Human Services, Savannah? They're hearing this and could need some help.
You can certainly reach out at any point in time. We will gladly help you and get you pointed in the right direction.
Good. Anything else you'd like to add today?
I don't believe so.
You gotta be proud, though. Your student's doing well, right?
Yes, definitely. I'm very proud. Very proud of Rachel. Very proud of everyone that I have in the program.
Thanks for coming in today, ladies.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And again, Rachel, thanks for your honesty.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's been amazing to hear you today. Rachel Bowe, who is going to be officially graduating in August from the Adult Drug Court, and Savannah Ducharme, Richland County Health and Human Services Treatment Court Coordinator on today's morning show.